Josh Johnson Show. I'm Josh Johnson, joined by my co-host and fellow stand-up comedian, Logan Nielsen. Logan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. One second. I got a hair in my mouth as soon as you asked me. And I was being still, so the hair must have flown in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
It was like either the hair was in my mic and I leaned in too close, or the hair was just flowing in the air and I caught the tip of it with my mouth.
Right.
That's how I'm doing. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. That was a joke.
Oh, hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah. Laugh at my pain. I'm going through real things over here.
Right. Hey, let's cover this quick. You just had a birthday, man. How'd it go?
It was good.
It was good.
Watched UFC 259.
Nice.
I'm a big Izzy fan, and he didn't win, but he definitely put on a good show, and I'm proud of him for trying to become double champ. He's a middleweight champ, mm-hmm. and he went up a weight class.
Oh, okay.
Didn't even bulk up. He was like, I'm just going to stay my natural weight and stay fast. And he did. But yeah, fell short when it came to the grappling. So Jan stayed light heavyweight champ. And I also like Jan, so I couldn't be mad. It was like, it was a win-win no matter who won.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
I don't really follow as closely as you, so all I can do is agree.
Yeah, I mean, Amanda Nunes is terrifying. So she won her fight mm-hmm. beforehand, and she's undefeated in her last, 14 fights or something. It's something ridiculous, right? And all of the women who have fought her just say that she hits so hard, and they compared it. They were like, because a lot of in MMA gyms, you train with everybody, right? So, mm-hmm. the women train with the men, everything like that. And a lot of the women who have fought her said she hits like a man. And so she hit Megan Anderson with I think it was a right overhand or something, and it landed clean, and you could just see Megan's eyes go wide, and she was like, "What the hell?" Like, it was so, because her hands are still up; she's still clearly in the fight. It's not like she's knocked right. out, but you see her eyes go wide, like, I didn't know we were allowed to hit like that. That's not, I don't want to play anymore. And so then Nunes rushed in with another one, landed again. And that one, I think that one dropped her. And then she mounted her and put her in an arm bar, and Megan tapped. And it all happened in 2 minutes. And
jeez.
The worst part is that everyone knew it was going to happen. Like,
right.
The betting odds were so distinct. It was like no one.
Right, yeah.
If you had put money on Megan and she had won, you'd probably be able to buy a house. That's how bad it was. It was like, I think -750 Nunes was the favorite or something. Something that was like ridiculous odds that you rarely see.
Something I have not gotten used to with sports now that most sports betting is just legal everywhere now. And so when they just cover that in commentary, and they're just mm-hmm. anyway, the odds are this, and they'll have a betting wrap up for NFL shows and stuff, and it surprises me every time. I know it's not brand new, but it just every time I watch anything and then they just start talking about betting, I'm always like, what? I don't know, TV, this seems illegal.
the funniest thing about it actually is that the betting, if you understand betting odds and the motivations behind them, I feel like you'll really start to understand the stock market. Because so much of it is just confidence. So then people are so confident this person will win, they've set the betting lines as this. People are so confident that this stock is going to go up that they've set the betting lines as this. It's like, mm-hmm. I know that they're not the same, but at least the emotion behind them is almost identical.
Yeah. So, Josh, people, when they message about the show, they talk about they appreciate our friendship. And our relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of thinking, you want to take a relationship quiz?
Yeah, sounds good.
Now, I don't see, I think this is more, and for the audience, we actually just got bored and decided let's take a relationship quiz. I was looking for some, I think this one is more of I don't think it's how well do you know your partner? That might be a different time. This is more of like your individual feelings and if they're compatible. Because this is called, this is from the Modern Love section of the New York Times, and it's called 36 Questions on the Way to Love.
Okay. Wow.
Well, here's what's bold is underneath it says, grab a partner, friend, lover, or stranger, and get ready to get intimate. And I got to tell you, there's got to be, I can think of fewer off-putting things than grabbing a stranger on the street saying, take this 36-question relationship quiz with me.
Yeah, sir, who looks like you don't have any time on your hands to be busy. Like, you're clearly not doing anything. That's why you stopped when I asked you to stop. Yeah. Take this test with me. To see if, oh, you don't want to? You don't, well, I guess the test took itself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think that's technically taking a hostage.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think that might be kidnapping.
A stranger? Yeah, yeah.
I think so. If you just stop and say, hey, stranger, take this long quiz with me.
Mm-hmm.
But so there are some instructions. Should I tell you the instructions?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it says, with this app drawn from a study discussed in the New York Times and designed in consultation with the study's first author, you and a partner can test if mutual vulnerability brings you closer together. So this is more testing if we can get closer.
Okay.
Really what we're doing here.
Yeah, if we're at the finish line or not.
Yeah, before you begin, you or your partner should read the following instructions aloud. One, for each question, one of us should read the prompt aloud, and then we should each take a turn answering before moving on. Two, it is important to answer each question in order, so we can't jump ahead.
Okay.
Three, the questions are divided into three sets. Each set lasts 15 minutes, so that's going to buy us an episode right there. Four, after the third set of questions, there is an optional final task. And that's all it says. It's very vague.
I hope it's not nasty.
It's just going to be like, and blow him. Five, we should not rush through the questions, but answer each at a normal conversational pace.
Okay.
And six, we probably won't get to all 12 questions in each set, and that's perfectly okay. So this quiz gives us permission to bail. All
right.
So I'll take that.
Yeah.
Okay, should we start the quiz?
Yeah, sounds good.
36 questions on the way to love.
Okay.
Question one. Okay, this is just kind of a vague getting to know you question a little bit. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Okay. I think I'm going to go with Israel Adesanya. I think it would just be interesting to meet him in person and to, you know, get a real sense in person of like what drives him and what he's into and why.
And that was one of the fighters.
That was the fighter from
yesterday.
Yeah, he goes by Izzy. Yeah,
it's filling it in for the listeners who maybe didn't catch that.
Mm. No, I appreciate it. What about you?
I'd maybe go with like David Letterman.
Okay.
You know, just because he was so formative for me when I was younger, and he just seems like I would like to know what's in his mind. You know what I mean? Because like I watch just as much Conan, but I think I know how Conan would be as a guest. Like I think because he would just be fun and jovial or whatever. But like Letterman's got that weird, like, I don't know. I can't describe it other than like this kind of like nice grumpy old man vibe to him that who knows what he's going to talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 He could talk to you about, you know, comedy careers, or he could talk to you about how his neighbor keeps taking his spot that he clearly left because he left the chair in the parking spot and then dug all the snow out himself. So like, I don't know why you think you can just move the chair and then put your car there.
Exactly.
Unless you want to get your window smashed.
He's that kind of guy. And like, if my question, my answer for the, like, when they're like living or dead, who would you want to have dinner with? My dead one would be Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Especially for you. I think.
Especially for me. Why do you say that?
Well, no, it seems like Robin Williams would be someone that you would connect with, you know, like you'd like, that would be a dope. It would be fun to watch you two talk, you know?
Well, thank you.
I think for me, dead would be, okay, this is maybe bad.
Okay.
Listen,
Adolf Hitler.
No. I actually don't know if he's dead. But there was
is that why it's bad? You don't know if this person's dead?
Yeah. I don't know if he's dead. I just never saw him again. But there was a crackhead that used to hang out. They used to hang out near my grandma's place.
Right.
And he had lots of stages. He had there was a stage where, you know, he was like jovial and you could talk to him. And then there was a stage where he was clearly high. And he was high all the time, and he was having a conversation with who knows. And they would be intelligent conversations. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would actually be surprising the level to which he was eviscerating this imaginary friend. And then he, I don't know, he got a bit weirder. Like he really started running more and stuff. It was all uncomfortable. Right. Then I never saw him again. So I would like to learn his story, meet him.
You'd like to know him better, catch up with him a little bit.
Yeah, just because, like, here's the thing. When people,
because you'd get, like, some real perspective on life, I think, from someone who's lived that.
Exactly. Because there are some people who just see all types of homelessness or drug abuse one way. But, like, there are so many different roads that a person can take to get there. And there's many different feelings that they have about it. Because some people with addiction problems are like, I'm in a living hell struggling with my soul of whether or not to, like, get out of this pit. And then some people are just having a good time. And they're like, I don't know, I may die, but I'm going to die anyway. So I might as well die high. That's another perspective that's less often talked about because it's such a bad example to set. But yeah, I hope he's not dead. I hope he is somewhere giving his imaginary ego projection a real tongue lashing over not understanding the merits of Marcus Aurelius's writings, you know. Like, it was weird, because here's the thing, you never meant to get that close to him, because he was always wilding out, but if you had to pass him on the street and he's just at the corner and you have to pass him, he would just be dropping lines that sound like, you know, he was reading off of a professor's chalkboard. And you're like, how are you like this? How, you must be a genius, you know, like you must be like a genius gone awry, like a beautiful mind but with crack.
Now I just like putting movie titles and just adding "but with crack" at the end.
Little Mermaid, but with crack. Frozen,
Old Yeller,
but
with
crack.
Crack.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but with crack.
Oh, I'd watch that version. They don't go to anything. They just do a lot of crack. Okay.
That Weekend at Bernie's, but with crack. Oh. Spoiler alert. Bernie wakes back up.
Yeah. All he needed? Just some crack.
Yeah.
Question number two. Would you like to be famous? And then added on to that, in what way? I feel like this one probably answers itself for us. But.
Yeah. I think I would like to be famous, but only for my comedy. Hopefully none of my mistakes.
Right. Well, then you shouldn't have started this show.
Yeah, that's true. We're basically just making a backlog of things that I'm saying that are dumb that will get me in trouble later.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm kind of the same way. And for me, I guess famous was never an issue for me. I just wanted to be able to make money doing what I liked, you know, being funny and stuff like that. Like fame is, I always think about fame like, yeah, it would be cool. But then also that's not what motivates me though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is being famous, but it's hard because then it's like, I want people to like my stuff. Well, to know a lot of people like your stuff.
Yeah,
it means
yeah.
You got to be like a little famous.
Yeah,
I mean?
Especially with you know, with entertainment, it does kind of become completely intertwined with success. Because yeah, if you're really just looking to provide for your family, then yeah, there are plenty of behind the scenes jobs that you know, that people have that make a great living at. But if you
right.
specifically are the one saying the things and you need to make enough money saying the things to pay your rent, then yes, you're going to need people to like know and love you for what you do.
Yeah. And it's weird for me. I think I've always, because like when I always think about, especially comedy, I think that kind of like Brian Regan famous would be like the best version, I think, especially like for me, where it's like he's very famous in the comedy world. He's been selling out, you know, large theater tours for years, but like he's never been one of like the Madison Square Garden comics, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that always really appeals to me because a weird thing here, I'm going to get vulnerable because we're taking this vulnerability test, Josh.
Okay.
I remember watching you open for Trevor Noah at the United Center a couple years ago in Chicago. And the overwhelming thought I had while you were doing it, the first overwhelming thought I had was how fucking crazy proud of you I was. The second thought that I had, though, that kept sneaking into my head is I just kept going, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a weird thing that I didn't realize was like in my head. I'm like, oh, this almost, and maybe just because it seems unattainable or just was alien to me. But that's, I'm like, this isn't necessarily what I'm looking for in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think I would do it as well, especially like even as well as you did it, you know. And I know you were still getting used to it at that point.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like I don't think I could necessarily operate in that format the same, you know, as well as you did.
Yeah, but that's one of those things that you never know until you're in that situation. Because I feel like I did not know I would do well.
Right. Well, and I follow that up too. When I say that, I'm like, oh no, if I got the chance, I would take it in a heartbeat. I'm not saying like, you know what, I've decided I don't want to perform in a stadium. No, absolutely, I would do it. But I realized like it wasn't the thing. It was in that moment I realized, oh, this isn't what I'm aiming at. And I think I need to figure out what I'm aiming at now.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? Because I think no, that was where that. I was getting lost. I didn't know what I was aiming at anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No. I don't want to seem like fake humble or whatever. No, if I get a chance to perform in a stadium, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it right now. I'm not going to play that fake thing. I'm just like, nah, you know, too much success, really. You know, who wants it? Wow. Question number three. We could make a three-part episode of this, I think, for how slow we're going.
Yeah, right.
Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why?
Okay, listen. Listen,
yeah, yeah.
When
tell me,
it isn't when I'm about to call someone, it's when I'm about to pick up and I know I'm upset, right? So then sometimes, especially when I know it's a telemarketer, I get myself pumped up because it's hard for me to be rude to people. Like it just like a lot of the chances you have to be rude are just like not worth taking. So then in my head, I'm like, all right, you know they gonna, they gonna try to sell you car insurance. You don't even have a car, all right? Just let them have it. Tell them this is the third time that they've called and you don't need car insurance because you don't have a car and to go to hell. And then I still pick up like, hello. Like, I don't know it's them, but it's the same number that's been calling me every day for like 2 months.
Right, yeah.
At like 8 o'clock from New Zealand or something.
Yeah, yeah. I do only for it. Yeah. When it's official things like that, if I'm calling like a customer service or like a billing department for something, whatever. Yeah. No, I very much have like rehearsed what I've said just because I want to make sure what I'm calling about is clear and I want to make it as brief as possible. I don't want to talk to them. I want to get in and out. I hate making phone calls. It's one like time where my hearing is real bad. I you don't even have to have like a thick accent and I will just lose everything you say. I'm just bad on the phone, so I like to just get in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So I will. But I also in person though, I do that too. If it's an official like thing, I don't necessarily like rehearse it, but I will over my head be like, what's everything I want to say? Like I'll plan out. I've planned out full conversations, so I'll be like, and then if they say this, I'll go this way. But if they say this, I'll go this way. Like it's. Yeah, Josh just opened his eyes wide up at me.
So you play chess before you get all the foe?
I don't know if it's chess. It's because chess implies that I have some sort of strategy to victory. It's more of a it's more of a just a vamping to. It's like Dungeons and Dragons is more of what it is. Just like I don't know.
Yeah,
if this happens, we'll Either we'll fight the dragon or we'll go home. I don't know.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. Question number 4. Okay. What would constitute a perfect day for you?
Perfect day. Okay. So, a lot would have to happen. You know what I'm like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd have to wake up, great breakfast, right? Avocado toast, bacon and eggs, and a little bit of yogurt with a little side, small cup of cereal.
Okay.
Then I eat all that, manage to keep it down, right? Because normally that would put me out for like at least another 6 hours. That's too much food.
Right.
Then go on a walk and have the day be like that. You know that perfect temperature where you don't feel the temperature? Like where you're outside and you're like, it doesn't feel chilly. It doesn't feel warm. It just feels like perfect. Like it's almost matching your body temperature. Go for a walk. Come back home. Read whatever graphic novel I haven't got to yet. I'm a lot behind. Then play with the dog. And then probably go see a movie with Sally would be great to just be in the theater. Really good movie, something that's like maybe a psychological thriller or something, or maybe a horror, but it's a horror that Sally will be down with. And then come back home, ride the Peloton, get a personal best. Like go harder than I've ever gone before. Get off the Peloton without my knees clicking. Okay, that's big.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, then, towards the end of the day, the evening, because I forgot to even mention lunch. So I'm going to have a big dinner, you know, a dinner that's a lunch and a dinner all mixed together.
Man, you a high maintenance bitch. I'll tell you that right now.
Listen,
this is all.
I don't ask for much and I don't ask for perfect days. Okay. This is what would constitute a perfect day. That's why I said it's going to take a lot. All right. Don't attack me for my dreams.
I'm sorry. Nope.
Okay.
You're right.
And then, probably have like a big, big dinner and then top the whole night off with, other stuff.
Gross.
But yeah, it's a perfect day.
Okay. Well, my perfect day to counterpoint would probably be to do absolutely nothing. I'm at my calmest in a day. Not so much do nothing. I like doing stuff, but it's where I have no... There's nothing I have to get done. There's nothing I have to do. That's the biggest thing for me. Mm-hmm. It's only stuff I want to do. Even it's like sometimes days feel perfect when it's like, oh, I just played video games for a little bit and then like I went for a walk and then I just kind of wasted time. But it was because I knew I didn't have a pressing thing I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me happiest. Or just like getting to hang out with friends. Like I'm pretty easy because it's so hard for me to just relax. If I have things I have to do, I get so stressed so easily.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that away is what always calms me down. I can shift into that mode real easy of just like, oh, great. Nothing I got to get done right now. Cool. I'm going to stare at the wall and it's going to be great. I'm going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
It says here that was set one complete. I don't know if I accidentally hit.
Are there supposed to be 12 questions in a set?
I thought so.
Hmm.
Oh, there are up to 12 questions, but you get 14, you get 15 minutes to get through as much of the set as you can.
Gotcha.
It's a timed one.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, now I restarted it, but. Well, here's one. Here's question 5. When did you last sing to yourself? To someone else?
Today, I think it was. Yeah. I sang today.
Mine was yesterday. I would have sang in the car driving up to my parents.
What were you singing?
What was I listening to yesterday? I had some like 70s kind of psychedelic rock on yesterday.
Mm, okay. I had Ludacris's Stand Up playing.
Oh, okay.
Go with your big ass.
Is his Stand Up good? Does he have good jokes?
No, you're a monster.
Womp, 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 womp.
Oh, jeez.
If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retained either the mind or body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want? What?
Okay, so yeah.
Oh, and either retain either the mind or body of a 30-year-old.
Yeah. This is a tough one.
Because
there's so many good, there's so many pros to each. Because it's like, it's one thing, I think it would actually be a bit depressing. I think I'm going to go with body, because I think it would be depressing to stay spry your entire life and just watch your own physical decline. Whereas if you notice, a lot of people who are like, I'll just speak bluntly, a lot of dumb people are rarely sad. And I feel like if I just keep my 30-year-old body and am slowly going crazy, then I at least won't be that upset about it.
Well, I don't even think it's just like, quote, going crazy. I think it's also like the people that I've met who are in their like 90s or whatever, they have reached this level of zen because a lot of them accepted death 20 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so they've reached this place of just like, yeah, whatever. I am time, baby. I don't like, I'm just still here. And like, a lot of the ones I've met who are that old, it's just kind of like, yeah, isn't it crazy? I'm still alive. Anyway, like, what do you like? I don't know. There's this like calm that they have. And it's like, that's something I would want. I would want to have, I don't know. Cause, and some of it too is because you start forgetting shit. And some of them at a point, you know, aside from if it's like something tragic or whatever, but a lot of them are just like, yeah, I don't know. Life used to be different, huh? Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's a calm that can come with some of it.
I think I'd probably agree
with you on that.
If I go with body, I feel like whatever biases, whatever prejudices that I have, I feel like I might be able to just change without thinking about it too much, if that makes sense. Because a lot of other old people that are still like pretty spry are like actively fighting changes in the world. So then you'll just see like my friend, his grandpa is one of the oldest men I've ever seen, just fully see-through. He is so old. And he was like, why are so many of the firefighters Asian? And it's like, why would you even care? It's like that conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like,
where do you want me to go with this?
Yeah. Whereas if his granddad had just been like some, you know, hot guy with a 30-year-old body and nothing to say, you'd be like, man, this grandpa's dope. Look at his abs.
Okay, so I got the next question. I also found there is a pause button on this.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
Maybe, yeah.
Don't want to say what it is?
No, I don't want to give the person out there the idea.
Yeah, because I have an answer to that one, but it's not funny and it's just sad. moving on. I'm fine being intimate with you, but not necessarily with our audience. Okay, so we're viewing this as we are partners, correct?
I guess
so. For the sake of this quiz?
I guess so.
Okay. Because name three things you and your partner appear to have in common.
Okay.
So if we're answering this as you and me.
Okay, yeah. So I would say a love of comedy, a love of conversation, and a love at you losing at air hockey.
Well, we almost know each other well because that last one was just a lie.
Oh, it's a don't play yourself, all right?
Yeah, I'd say a love of comedy. I put it the same way, love of conversation. I'd on that topic, a love of trash talk, because we like it not just between ourselves, but we love some good trash talk out in the world.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually something I have to show you after we get done recording. It's
a clip of trash talk.
Yeah, yeah. It's very good. I have to find it. But yeah, it's like these two, there's an old man and a young kid, and they're just roasting each other just in a parking lot. It seems like for the hell of it. And this kid tells this old man, this old man tells this kid, he's like, "You so ugly, you look like you eat sand sandwiches." It doesn't even make that much sense, but when you see the kid's face, it's like, he does look pretty crusty. Like, this kid, this kid did look like he was made of sand. So
that's funny. Here's the next one. This is a good one. For what in your life do you feel most grateful?
That's tough. I would have to say my family. I think that, I definitely had times with almost every family member that's like in my close family where I could have lost them, and I still have most of them. And then, I did lose a handful of them. So I think that just everything with them is like the fact that they're able to see me do shows or that they're healthy and everything is like, that's like everything.
Yeah. No, my answer was going to be the same thing. Family for multiple things, like my upbringing, like more and more, especially as as you see the world go kind of crazy, I see like the balance my parents instilled in me a little bit.
Yeah.
And also too, like I'm very grateful to have the support I've had in the last few years and family too. I even would extend that slightly to just some of my like friends too.
Mm-hmm.
Some like, including you, a couple of other close friends who like, are, like fill the role of brother to me, even though I have two brothers who are like my best friends, but then also, bonus brothers.
Bonus brothers.
Bonus brothers. Well, see, now I started this thing over, so now we have to wait for it to click down before we can get to the next set. So I guess we'll keep doing this first set. If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
I don't know. This is very tough because I've gone back and forth on this in my personal life a lot.
Right.
I don't know if I would have grown up in Louisiana. I don't know if I would have picked a big city instead, like Chicago or New York. But there's something, it's such a catch-22 because it's like the way that I was raised and where I grew up, I think gave me the perspective that I have. But I also think that it there's just so much that I start figuring out much later than I wanted to. Like I would have liked to be a bit more worldly and a bit more street smart younger starting out than having to get that crash course at 22.
No, I agree with that. And it's my thing too of like growing up in very rural Iowa. Sometimes I'm like, I would have been fun to grow up around more culture, but also like there's something inherently, I don't know, fun and interesting about growing up in the middle of nowhere because you have to kind of make your own experiences a little bit. And I don't know, so much of like formative things for me come from like, how we spent time in middle of nowhere America, kind of. And like off of like my parents, like I remember when I'm younger being like, I wish my parents had pushed me harder because they were just kind of, my parents were very, very just supportive of everything we wanted to do. And it's weird, like when I had a moment of, I think just because I was disappointed in myself, I'm like, I wish my parents had been disappointed in me more. It would have pushed me more. But now it's like I'm older. I'm like, no, I'm so glad I had the supportive family that I had because so many people don't get that. Mm-hmm. So I know how lucky I am to have parents who were just like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Just don't die. Just don't.
Yeah.
Don't do anything super stupid.
Yeah. Whatever you do, just don't end up getting yourself irreparably damaged. That will end the game.
Yeah. This next question I'm going to skip just because it says, take a few minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible. And that's the whole show.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead and skip that one. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
All right. See, this is where y'all want to play games. All right. Because I'll tell you right now, if I could have super strength, I would be a problem. Okay? I don't even know if I'd be able to do comedy. Well,
so you're going with superpower, not just ability, like life ability.
Wait, what?
No, I wasn't. You can take it that way. Just as if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? And so you went superpower.
Yeah, I hope they don't mean like more organized or something boring like that. I'm trying to.
I think
read
you can take it
minds.
Any of those ways. I think you can take it any of those ways. So are you going with super strength?
Yeah, yeah. It would take a while to adjust to though, because let's say you woke up and you don't know you're super strong yet. At like maybe your door has a little wiggle on the doorknob, and it's just you got to wiggle it, and then so then the whole door come off, and you just try to go to the bathroom. Now you got to go to the bathroom with no door,
right?
You know, it's like a Midas touch sort of thing.
I gotcha. Yeah, mine's a little more just run of the mill. I if I could wake up having the ability to at least play piano, but just like. Any instrument would piano would be the go to. Like if I could just wake up tomorrow and have that.
That would actually be wild to watch. So we both went to bed, we woke up. I have super strength. You could play a piano. So then you play a piano to distract the burglars while I just rip doors off and hit them with them.
Well, I sit down and like just suddenly start playing the piano, and then you throw the piano to the moon.
It's one of those things where it's like. I would feel, in a sitcom situation, one of us would feel like we made a mistake. Because then I would be too strong to play the piano. So then you'd be playing beautifully.
You're smashing through the keys.
Every time I touch a key, it shoots through the floor.
All right, that's set one complete, so continue to set two.
Okay.
If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Oh man. Yeah, that's tough because it's like there's so many things I don't want to know that I'd like to be surprised by. So and I actually am the type of person where even if you told me you got me a gift and you were like, "Do you want to know what it is?" I'd say no. Like just surprise me. I'll find out the day of. So that's a tough one for me. I think and I can ask it anything. Is that the rules? That's what I want to know, or it has to be about me?
It just says, tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else.
Oh, okay. I would want to know if that dude that I'm scared may have died is still alive. I would want to know if that dude, if he's somewhere happy right
now. You
want to
know if he's alive so you can invite him to dinner.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. That dude could be fully rehabilitated and just living his life.
Yeah.
You know? But I want to know. And I feel like it's going to take a crystal ball because I never learned his name.
Right. Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know, because it's like about myself. It's like, I think it comes down to like almost wanting to know, like, is there a purpose? Is there a reason to this? I guess, which is a heavy question, but it's like,
yeah,
is there something I'm supposed to be doing? Is there a fucking God? Like, you know.
Sure. Now.
Just trying to find, I guess, like reason in the chaos, I suppose.
Yeah. I know. I don't know if this is allowed, but I may want to change mine. I think I want to find out where out of all the penises of the world I rank. So you got billions of penises, right? And then there's a ranking system. It's like, am I coming in at a billion?
I'm gonna end the Zoom call. I think this love quiz is gonna tear us apart.
Wait.
That was the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Let me change it back. I want to know
where that guy's penis ranks.
Yeah. I want to find out where he ranks because, like, honestly, if he ranks way higher than me, I don't want him at my dinner party, you know?
I regret answering that so genuinely. Anyway, is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it?
Actually, I think I can honestly say that I don't have the time at present to get really good with the nunchucks, but like it's coming. Like, people are sleeping on these nunchucks, but like one day, one day you're gonna be blown away, and it's gonna be so good that even you have to admit that it's amazing.
I'll just honestly, I'll be amazed if you can do it and not break your own goddamn nose. That's when I'll be pretty impressed with that. It doesn't even have to look that good, and I'll be pretty impressed if you can do that.
Okay, keep hating, keep hating.
Yeah. I don't know. They're probably there's. I have so many like little projects in my head that I never get around to. And the why haven't you done it? I don't know. Cause I'm a lazy procrastinator. New York Times quiz. Okay. Are you happy? Are you happy? I'm bearing my soul here. New York Times. You judgmental jerks.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really judging you or anything.
But I think of like other big things, and it's like, yeah, I've wanted to like live other places or whatever, but like those aren't like I've dreamed of them for a long time. They're just kind of things that pop in my head of like, oh, that'd be neat. Mm-hmm. You know, it stays in the back of my head of like, but it's not like I need to do it right now kind of thing.
Yeah.
What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
This one's just depressing.
Yeah,
because
I'm not really proud of anything I've done. So,
no, but I just mean like there are things that you could. It's like okay,
it's not like we have kids and it's like oh my son.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't be like my dog. Did I ever tell you about? I've done it as a joke too, but when I was like going through a really hard time in Chicago, and I told my therapist about it and was talking about career stuff, and he goes, he's like, are you proud of your comedy career? And I just said, no, I'm not. And he just quietly went, that's sad. I was like, great, thanks. I'm glad the guy I pay to listen to my problems has told me, yes, you are in fact a bummer.
Like, so. Yeah, I feel okay.
You know, getting over that shit though, getting over that shit and like moving on to Chicago, that I was pretty proud of myself for that. So I'll take that as a great accomplishment. How's that?
I think that one's I think that one's huge. I think for me, maybe it's tough. Maybe MSG, but MSG wasn't like the best I've ever done. So it's like still
that's Madison Square Garden, not the weird like food additive. For the listeners.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like that show, though. It's not like that show was also the best performance I ever had. So then
no,
it's
that
like,
was something, though, man.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I guess I had just always... So I had psyched myself out about it for a month. And then, I think was like only... I was so in my head, I only enjoyed the last half. And I wondered if that came across to the audience that I was only enjoying the last half. But, you know,
I don't think it came across like but I know you well enough and we've worked together enough. I noticed you just loosening up more for the second half of it.
Yeah.
Like you were doing well the whole time, though. But it's like that's just because I know you and I just saw your body just relax a little bit more and you dug into bits a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't worried about moving along. But no, like that was something. How many people were in that audience?
Yeah, I don't know if it was like 14 or 17.
I thought it was 17,000.
Yeah, I think it's 17,000.
Like, yeah, no, that's
that's
something, man.
So I guess that one. I think that like, you know, there's definitely been times at the Cellar that like just loose, light nights where I would have a set and then like someone who I used to watch on Comedy Central. Growing up would be like, that was really funny. And that is like, oh my God, he said I was funny.
Right.
So like that, I think that it's a tie between those two things. You know, it's like this big show that is like, is very hard to even get to do. And then like Gary Goldman pulling you aside at some point being like, I really like that joke with the thing. It's like,
that'd be great.
Geez.
I love Gary Goldman. Yeah.
Both of them didn't feel real. Like, both of them I didn't appreciate in the moment. I appreciate the next day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. What do you value most in a friendship?
Hmm. I think the fact
editing, podcast editing,
podcast editing is huge. If you don't edit, I don't know if I could even really like.
Oh, I don't think I'd be on the show if I.
I don't know if we could hang. I don't know, but I do think that like there's a dark thing inside every person, whether people want to admit that it's there or not. That is your okay, everyone is cleared out of the room, here's what I think, or here's my question, or here's my feelings, that are not for mixed company. It's not for polite society. And I think anyone that I can share those with, because I'd like to believe they're few and far between. I'd like to believe that I'm not like, you know, just secretly some jerk, but I do have thoughts that are like, guys, this is messed up, right? Or like, I don't really like this thing that's happening. But then you can't just do therapy on Twitter. That's a terrible idea, you know?
Yes.
But you can.
And the other side of it too, the people who pretend like they never have any dark thoughts ever.
Yeah.
They only speak in the most like PC acceptable way. And it's like, no, all of us, when we're with the truly like closest person we're with, every now and then we'll be like, isn't it wild that dot, dot, dot?
Yeah. Ooh, and it's not
the
even,
kind of shit you look over your shoulder first to be like, anyone else in here? No. Okay.
Yeah. And it's not even about like, it's not even about hiding something. It's about like having the trust in another person that you can share the parts of you that would be unacceptable to other people. And I think that that's the number one thing that I try to receive from people. So when people share that with me where they're like, oh man, I actually... like I'm trying to think of something like super dark that's not like a crime or anything, but it's like oh, you know what, he's 20 now and I can say looking back, I don't know if I like my kid. It's like that's wild, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's not something you would say to your own child, which is very close to you, or to your spouse who's very close to you, but it's something that you could share with a friend that's like, okay, I don't have kids, but I know what it would be like to be around someone who sucks for 20 years, and it's partly your fault. It's like, that can't be a good feeling. So someone sharing that with me is like, that's huge, because there are things that a human soul needs to let out, like you do.
Right.
Like like no one's perfect. No one even thinks the acceptable thoughts about the things that you would even think. Like, you know, there are people who genuinely hate their own brother or whatever. It's like, admit that to somebody. And I think that's what deep, close friendships are for.
Yeah, admitting you hate family members.
That's just the best example I could give.
No,
just being a racist or something. Like,
how I set it up made it seem like that too. And I don't mean it in that way, but like the where you can openly question the world and stuff like that, or openly be like, I don't understand this thing that's happening. I don't understand this change in the world. And sometimes that comes from close friendship. And a lot of times that will help you then wrap your head around it.
Yeah.
But
because you know, someone who's willing to listen to you do that thing is then going to be like, oh, here's why. Here's
exactly
the thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You may actually have a very toxic friendship if they're like, look, me too, we should do something about it with guns.
Yes.
It's like,
no,
Oh no.
Yeah, and I want to be very clear. It's not that I think a close friendship just agrees with anything, even if it is, if you have like a dark, controversial thought, they're just like, right on, dude. Like, no, a good friend then will be like, that's fucked up.
Yeah. A good friend would be like, you and your son should probably go to therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, yeah, for me, I was going to say just in a word, like, honesty. And I think, like, kind of like we were saying, like, both ways, though, of where it's like, oh, we can just be honest about ourselves with each other, but then also be honest about the, like, yeah, no, that's something you might want to look into, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do something about that one. What is your most treasured memory?
So, I don't know if we have the time or... I'm trying to answer this as sincerely as possible, but it won't be, I'm sure I'd change my answer 10 minutes from now if I really thought about it or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying. Okay. I know this is going to sound dumb because we've talked about MSG, we've talked about family, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But seeing those two dudes on the unicycles run into each other is like maybe one of the greatest things Because it's like it was... Like, how? When you think about the road, and then you think about two unicycles, the fact that two grown men ran into each other... And then their legs just like perfectly scissored, and then and then had the nerve to be mad at each other. Be mad at yourselves.
You're an idiot. God, that's good. I was thinking of like a real, like genuine answer. I don't even want to answer it now.
No, but because here's the thing. This is only gonna make it sound worse. But like I've had people in my life be in remission for cancer, and that was a beautiful thing, and I'm very happy that they're still with me.
Yeah.
But as far as a treasured memory, because we're not talking about like what life is like, or I could lose somebody, if I could keep them, we're talking about just a memory. Oof. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's I looked up at just the right time too. If I hadn't looked up when I looked up, it would have just been me hearing a crash and then seeing two dudes with handlebar mustaches very upset.
Oh, well, that's good. I don't even have anything to top that. I don't know. I don't have like specific, like the times when I think of like when I'm happiest is just when I'm sitting with friends. Here's one that's specific, really, that I treasure. Cause I like moments when I'm sitting with a group of people and we're all laughing uncontrollably, mm-hmm. where reality has broken because whatever happened was so funny. And this will not translate well to podcasts. It's not a good story to tell, but we laughed very hard. And it was me and my brothers and my dad all in our dining room this was a few years back. And we're all just hanging out talking and whatever. And then my dad's in the middle of a story. And says we live in the country. We have a problem with like these. They look like ladybugs, but they're called like Asian beetles. And they always like fill the fields because they eat like aphids, but they're very invasive and there's just a ton of them. So they get into the house sometimes. So you just have these like kind of ladybugs in the house. And just every now and then one will fly by and you kill them and like they stink too. They're like Asian stink beetles, they're called. Mm. They're kind of, it's a weird thing. But so they're just kind of around every now and then. But my dad's telling a story. He was just talking, and then one slowly flew in front of his face very slowly. And this is a podcast, so it won't translate. But the face my dad made, because he just stopped talking and just went like that, and just like wide-eyed, like wide-eyed, cross-eyed, and like looked at it as if it was the harbinger of death. Like, and he just scanned it for a second and then tried to go back into conversation, just like it didn't happen. And me and my brothers lost our minds and just started laughing. And then my dad started laughing. So all four of us are just like crying, laughing. And then my mom walks in. She's like, what happened? And we're like, we don't even know. It's like one of those moments that, like, again, it's a you had to be there story.
Yeah.
I can't translate it well to a podcast form. But like stuff like that where it's like, oh, just that moment of we all in the same moment thought that's very dumb. And laughed very hard at it. Those are like my favorite memories in life.
The only thing that I can think about that could like have made that even funnier if I was there is if one of you was slapping your knee so hard you accidentally killed the bug on your knee. So now it stinks, but you also can't stop laughing. So now you're genuinely like, oh no, because you're laughing and the smell is...
Well, they don't stink that bad. They don't explode into stink bombs. It's just like if you kill one with your hand, it's just on your hand a little bit. It's not like a skunk. It doesn't like ruin your day.
There's stink bugs like that in the South that actually do stink.
Oh,
up.
Really? Like, I feel like a room. Oh, geez.
Oh yeah. Not a big room, but like your bedroom. Like,
right. That's rough.
But it's just funny to think of because I've met your dad. So now seeing him looking at a bug the way that that shark looked at Nemo is very funny.
Yeah, but you gotta put a mustache on the shark.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ooh. That's the sound of someone looking at something like that. Ooh.
Boo. Yeah. What do you think? One more question?
Yeah.
We'll skip that one because it's what is your most terrible memory? And I feel like that's not a good way to end a podcast.
We could do that one real quick, though.
Okay.
Yeah. It was when I had I think it was when I had that double meat that I told you about at that mall, and I was poisoned in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then someone was in the bathroom with me. I didn't know. That was a terrible. I still think about that sometimes. Like, I really thought I had solace.
Yeah. A terrible one I had. Jesus, a cat just jumped on me. Our cat. We own a cat. It wasn't just a.
Yeah. It just. I couldn't see the cat, but it looked like your elbow had a tail.
Stay down, bud. This was a few years ago. I can't remember if I told on the show. I don't think I have. But I was doing a set outside of Chicago, and it was just a bad show. And like the way the room was set up was just bad. It was one of those shows that, like, right away you're just like, oh, this isn't going to be great.
Yeah.
And then I go up there. And the problem is I went up on stage with that attitude of like, this isn't going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to do like a 10-minute set. And like the first... like 7 minutes are just, I'm just eating shit. No one cares. No one's laughing. No one likes it. And then one guy, I finish a joke and this guy in the room just goes, you suck. And I just go, oh, I suck? And he goes, a little bit. And I was like, okay, thanks. And like, I didn't even argue with him because I was like, I mean, he's not wrong. This isn't, we all feel how it's going.
Yeah.
So I can't do like, hey, fuck you, man. Don't talk during the show. And it's like, no, because I'm bombing right now.
Yeah.
And then I decided to try. And I actually got some good laughs for like my last 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, next time, decide to try before you go on stage. That's the lesson we learned. That's the lesson we learned tonight. Make that decision before you go on the stage. Is that you're going to try. And then... And it didn't end there, because then I go outside to like get some air, because like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude follows me out. And he does that thing of like, hey, man, you know, I was just like trying to help, because like, it wasn't going well. I'm like, yeah, no, I know it wasn't going well.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, so I thought I would like, I try to like, you know, get some energy in there with like some controversy. And I'm just like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then he like kept trying to talk to me, and he's like, I've tried to do it. You know, I've been coming to comedy shows for a while, and like, I've done it once, and like, blah, blah, kept going. And I literally had to get to a point where I said, hey, please walk away from me. And I literally said that to him. I said, please stop talking to me. And he's like, okay, man. I'm like, I get it. I'm like, yes, I didn't do well in there. What makes you think I want to talk to you about it? You told me I sucked on stage. Oh, because when I walked off stage, I flipped him off too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I just flipped like right very, to his very face. Important I was to just the like, story. Yeah, I did. I forgot about that. As I was walking off, I just flipped him off right to his, like, close in his face too.
As I exited the stage, forgot. I put my middle finger
as,
in
as
his
I walk
eye.
Off, I put my finger right in his face. And he was like trying to be like buddies with me. Because first when he was following me out, I'm just like, all right, is this guy going to try to like fight me now or whatever? Because that will happen after shows.
Yeah,
you know, if someone who thinks like whatever. But no, instead he's like, you know, I'm just trying to blah, 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 help, whatever. And so I finally just like, please walk away. Like, please just stop talking to me. And he's like, oh, okay. And then I leave and I walk to the end of the parking lot. And then this last part sounds made up, but it's not. Because I walk to the edge of the street and then I look down and just like, 20 yards away from me, maybe, a skunk crosses the street. A literal skunk just walks across the street just nonchalantly and like walks in like past the venue as if the universe was saying like, yeah, man, you should feel bad about that one. You stunk up the place. And it was just this moment of just like, geez, wow, okay. The dude tried to talk to me after the show, too. He came and sat down at the table, and he's like, yo, hey, you know, it's like, you know, who are your favorite comedians? And I'm just like, I'm like, please, like, I just made it clear. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. And then he's like, yeah, you know. He's like, do you know Bert Kreischer? Like, know of him? I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, you know, because I listen to him on Rogan. I'm just like, oh, just please, this is hell. Please go away. I don't want now the notes from, like, the Rogan fan who doesn't do stand up, just fuck off, please. And so I literally like slammed a beer in front of him, like, okay, I'm leaving. Bye.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Yeah. So that was a bad one, you know. That was a rough one.
Hey, real quick, we're actually out of time. So let's finish this quiz in another episode and, you know, really show people how close we've gotten or how far apart we need to be.
yeah, we're really fostering intimacy, and I don't want to cut it short.
Well, you know, we do what we must. So listen, in the meantime, between part one and part two, this is our first two-parter ever. It's kind of crazy.
It's weird. It's weird that we're...
Yeah, it's weird that we chose this, you know?
Yeah.
If you're looking for us online, you can find us on the socials at... I'm sorry. I was throwing to you too early. That's my bad.
You just said you can find us on the socials at, and then you, I thought, honestly, oh. I thought the Zoom call froze for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was trying to throw to you and forgot to do mine. I'm sorry.
Do yours first. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to connect with us at any point, you know, learn whether or not we should be closer or further apart from you as individuals, you can find us on the socials at Josh Johnson Comedy. On Instagram at Josh Johnson, on Twitter, Josh J Comedy, on Facebook at Josh Johnson Comedy, on YouTube. And if you're looking for Logan,
you can find me on Instagram at Logan M. Nielsen. And you can also email the show, joshjohnsonshow@gmail.com. We didn't do it this time, but we read emails for our mailbag that we do. You can also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we like to read those too. So those are the ways to get a hold of us,
mm-hmm.
and foster intimacy with you.
Yeah, stop saying intimacy.
I want to be intimate.
Oh, with, God. Okay.
Everyone.
We have to go.
Okay.
We will continue this later.
Yeah. Probably not a great idea.
See you next week.